So it's second down and 11 here for the Golden Bears. Lonhart looking to throw, looking left. Lots of time, going to sail down the middle. Got a man open, and it's a first down inside the Ram 30. And that's a big catch there by Colby Miller as he found a soft spot in the Rams secondary. Good job by Lonhart to step up and deliver that one. And he had all day to throw it, too.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. Thanks to David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies for their support of this podcast and amateur football in the province. Always a big supporter of football is David Dubé and his family. Also want to thank Mark Greshner for his fine work. Mark Greshner, photography.com. You can find his work on my Facebook page. Did some great work for me personally. I highly recommend him. When you have some big moments in your life that you want to capture, do it with the pro, Mark Greshner. Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage in Regina, getting the real estate game with a three-time Grey Cup champ and longtime friend of mine and this podcast, 306-502-5355. Riviere Ag Seeds over there in Radville. Paul Riviere and his great family getting on board. They love Rider football. They love supporting the community. Great, great people there in Radville. Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn. Corey Zadorozniak for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Give Corey a call out there, Double Z Ag Sales. Boys Next Door Window Cleaning. Check out Landon and Nathan and their website, theboysnextdoor.ca. They do pressure washing. They do, of course, window cleaning. That's their specialty. Gutter cleaning as well. And Zelko Stefanovic out there in Moose Jaw at the Yar Center. Sasalex Football building the stars of tomorrow today. Running a U14 camp. Recently also had a two-day camp where he brought a bunch of pros in to help the young kids out in Regina. Thanks to Zelko for his great work, and he went a long way to helping my son secure his schooling down south, and I'm forever indebted to Zelko. Well, before we get to our guest, Dick White, the interim president and CEO of U Sports, as they've done a reversal and decided to allow the fifth-year players, the 25-year-old football players, to have their fifth year of eligibility and therefore massage the age cap for this 1 year. We'll talk to Dick about that in a second. But before we get to that, we've got something here on Growing the Game with Ballsy called Ballsy's Pick Six, where we look at six sports stories that are making the headlines. Of course, we know Major League Baseball is on pause for a few teams because a number of Miami Marlins and coaches testing positive for COVID-19. It's going to be very interesting to see how Major League Baseball goes forward. And you know the NFL, who isn't planning to use a bubble situation, is going to pay attention to that, of course. And also college football down south. They're very eager to see how Major League Baseball moves forward. I think Major League Baseball plows forward right now. Too much to lose. And besides, the Miami Marlins are infected. Yeah, I know the Phillies could be, and the Orioles and Yankees are hung up right now waiting to play teams. And I'm not trying to say one team's health is less important, but in the grand scheme of things, if it was 18 Yankees or 8 Dodgers or 6 Astros or something like that, well, maybe not the Astros, they cheat. Anyway, if it was a more prominent team that had a chance to win the World Series, we might look at it differently. And we're a far cry from this being over, but it's going to be very interesting to see how this goes over the next probably 72 hours as we're living in a new world. Astros ace Justin Verlander's out for at least 2 weeks with a forearm strain on his pitching arm. Ironically, Verlander's married to Kate Upton, who's one of the leading causes of forearm strain, if you know what I mean. Did you hear this? President Trump will not throw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium next month at all. He says he's too busy due to his strong focus on the coronavirus, vaccines, and the economy. I thought he said if we don't test, it doesn't exist. Anyway, Donald will not be throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium. Of course, we're still waiting to see what happens with the CFL. They extended their deadline to get a players' agreement in place, and here's something from the government by the end of the month. Even if they get money from the government, I don't see this happening. There's too many things in play. I mean, how do you allow American players to come up here when they didn't even allow the Blue Jays to play here? Now, I know you'll say, well, they're playing in a bubble, but do you really think we'll have, you know, anywhere between 600 and 800 people, players and personnel, in a bubble in Winnipeg and have something not go wrong? I mean, when you look at this, here are two different ways to handle the coronavirus. Lou Williams of the Clippers was cleared to leave the NBA bubble to go to a funeral in Atlanta. But he also stopped by a strip club, and now he's going to miss several games and forfeit $150,000 in salary while he quarantines. He said he went there for the food in Atlanta, the strip club for food. Now, normally I'd laugh and say, yeah, whatever. But the only time I've been in a strip club is the French Maid in Calgary, and it was at 2 p.m, and it wasn't to put charity through school. No, it was before cell phones, and my car broke down, and I went and used their payphone just inside the door at French Maid. True story. True story. So Lou, I'm not discounting what you're saying. Maybe you did go for something to eat, but maybe you shouldn't go to a strip club. Maybe you should go back to the bubble and order the food. Here's how you handle the coronavirus if you're an athlete. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif of the Chiefs, he was the first player to opt out this season. He's the only doctor that's a player in the NFL. He says if he's going to take risks, he'd rather do it treating patients in Quebec. He was due to make $2.8 million this year. Instead, he gets a $150,000 payout, and he stays in Quebec to help out on the front lines. That, my friends, is what we call a hero. Sometimes we say overtime hero and all that type of stuff. No, that, my friends, is a hero right there. A couple of birthdays to tell you about. Wrestler Triple H turns 51 today. He's going to celebrate with his brothers, Preparation and Four. also Alex Rodriguez, it's his birthday today. He apparently started by throwing himself a small party, but then it grew before the party finally admitted that it had taken steroids. And back to baseball for a second. Those cardboard cutouts, I really actually don't mind those cutouts, but they're not lifelike, okay? Like, first of all, they got to have a good chunk of them staring into their phones, not paying attention to the play, right? Also, they're scanning the back of the cardboard, and they're all white. That's a missed opportunity for marketing. Somebody should put their logo on the back of those cardboard cutouts. When they come back from commercial, it'll be plastered right there. And maybe if I had a budget, I put Growing the Game with Ballsy on the back of every one of those. And also, they need to have a matte finish. In the sun, they're really glossy and it's hard to make out. Yeah. Out of habit, most of the cutouts in Los Angeles got up and left in the fifth inning in order to avoid traffic. And the cutouts at Boston's Fenway Park were the most unrealistic, I think, because not one of them was shown throwing a beer or even flipping the bird. Nope, unrealistic there in Boston. Anyway, time now to get to our guest here on Growing the Game with Ballsy as some more news from U Sports Football. All right, speaking now with Dick White, the interim president and CEO of U Sports, and a reversal on the decision that you guys came up with a couple of weeks ago, Dick. Just tell us why the reversal.
Well, we more than anything didn't really look at it as a reversal, although I understand the key element of it can be perceived that way. But for us, it was equally as important for us to review and revise the age cap into something that would not be as easy to challenge as it could be. And so we're looking at a revision to that by February 2021. And in given that it takes time to do that, we did provide the accommodation for those student athletes that would not have been eligible are now eligible for the 21 season.
You know what, Dick? Initially, I was one of those guys that was, hey, this is wrong. I got to get Dick White on. I got to talk to him. But then after I talked to you a couple of times, both on the air and off the air, I got an appreciation as to how difficult a decision this is. If one domino falls this way, three other dominoes fall that way, and vice versa. So it is not an easy decision. Was this a decision that came about maybe because of the pressure you guys were getting? Because you had mentioned to me a little bit earlier that if there's one thing you learn, maybe you guys kind of rushed the initial announcement.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably a fair comment. And we got into circumstances which. You know what probably happens to lots of people in lots of aspects of life, but we got that legal decision on Thursday evening, and we already had a board meeting planned for the next day. Both the board and staff had a short period of time to review it. 13-page legal decision can be pretty intimidating for most of us that are in ordinary folks in many circumstances. So that was probably less than ideal. But when you've tied up four university presidents and booked their time, casually phone them up like your buddies and say, "By the way, we're just not going to do this today." It's not quite that easy. So I don't want to make a lot of excuses. I mean, if I could roll the clock back, which I can't, that's probably one thing that we would take a little more time on. But you know what? Last week, really a week and a half ago, it was really valuable for me when I went back and I met with the eligibility committee, the football technical committee, and the management advisory committee, and talked about, you know, what's the best way forward here, everybody. We've got information that we can't ignore. We don't want to lose the age cap entirely, which honestly was at risk, and that's what the board was very concerned about. So we charted a path forward. Especially the management advisory committee was extremely helpful in coming up with sort of a combined motion that looked at a review of the age cap, of maintaining the objectives of the age cap, but coming up with a different way to administer it, and in light of that, provide relief for the what we call the 300, those that might not have been eligible next year. So, it probably didn't work the way it should. On the other hand,
it did work the way it should, because you guys got input. Like, you know what I mean? I know what you're saying. It probably didn't work the way it should, but also, and I'm not trying to stick up for you, but there's no playbook in a pandemic. But it speaks to this, though. Like, so you make a decision like that a week and a half ago, whether it was rushed or not, you made the decision, or you decided to go that way. But now you've circled around, and you guys have decided, okay, we're going to, with the help of our membership, we've decided this is the best way to go forward right now, but we got to look at things in the future. Because the way I look at it is this, okay? My son, who's going down south to play, but was initially signed with Calgary. If he's coming in, if it stays the way it is, and he comes in with the Calgary Dinos now, and you're going with the way you've just decided here today, you look at it, and it's like, okay, so my kid comes in, but maybe he's not playing this year like everybody else. He might not play next year because there's extra guys on the roster. There's fifth-year guys. Maybe there's those backups. Yeah. It's tough for him to get a spot. So you're like, okay, do we sacrifice the young guys for the old guys? Because there's the argument, well, these guys have paid their dues. But then you're like, okay, but these guys have played so many years of football. Maybe they've played, like, now it's time to bring somebody else in. Or how about, here's a good example, Dick. You got Colton Claussen, who's a fifth-year guy on the Huskies. You'd hate to see his career end the way it was going to a week and a half ago. Now he gets a reprieve, but then you got Adam Mackard, who is probably their best player. And so what? He doesn't get an extra year? Like, he's going to miss a year, and then he's only got 1 year left? So there's a lot of those different things, different strokes for different folks. That just speaks to the problem you guys have. So going forward, Dick, how do you approach this? You had mentioned something about an NCAA model with years of service. Could we maybe look at, like, here's what I've always said. How about we bump the age just one more year to 26 and that's it? I don't think it's so egregious if you move it to 26. It's not like we're going to have 29 or 30-year-old guys playing. It's definitely going to be interesting going forward here.
Well, fundamentally, in a lot of ways, we actually have bumped the age to 26. No matter how you want it, and one of the presidents from our board said, well, now we've moved the age cap to 26. And he wasn't objecting. He was just being very upfront and saying, we actually have, in many ways, just moved the age cap to 26. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We are going to review. And, yes, the NCAA model is one that doesn't reference age specifically. Now, I've got a lot of learnings regarding the NCAA model, and I'm going to be doing that this week. I'm going to, I haven't scheduled it yet, but I've got a commitment to have a phone call with Teresa Hansen, who's the AD at Simon Fraser, and Teresa used to be at UBC, and so she's got a good idea of what we do in Canada, and being a Division II NCAA school, an understanding of how they manage their age cap of sorts. It's a participation cap, and so I want to start by learning what might be better. But there's no question, and I've said this, and some of the other people I've chatted with, it doesn't matter whether it's life or it's a rule or a regulation or a structure. When something comes under stress, you find out the weaknesses. And one of the weaknesses in this rule was very much that the ability to challenge it was just right up in front. And that's what our lawyers were telling us. And the interesting part, Michael, that not many people bring up, but you have, and perhaps, having your son in that situation, what about now we've got a double class,
mm-hmm.
a double class coming in trying to fit limited spots. And believe it or not, today I heard secondhand one of the coaches brought that up. How am I going to adjust my roster now with a double recruiting class? And I just thought, oh my goodness,
mm-hmm.
we just gave you what you asked for, and now, I get it. I get it. It's just a challenge, and I'm not saying that it was brought up in any way that was negative. But I just kind of thought, oh my goodness, we solved one little problem, but the next one comes along. But that is going to be a real management challenge. And I've said all along when people have brought that up, I said, as a board of directors, let's not get into roster management.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn that over to our professional coaches. I said, they've got a challenge now. They've been very clear what they've wanted. They've made that clear to their athletic directors. We heard them. We added another element to it that from our point of view needed to be done. Please don't phone me with a double cohort and how am I going to squeeze it into my roster of 95.
Yeah.
I'm kind of going, I'm way too old school. You're like, really?
Yeah.
Rosters of 95, 100, 125 they were talking in Ontario and fighting. I'm going, really? You know what? I think I might have made one of the teams.
Yeah,
then.
You're right. You're right, Dick.
As best I know,
yeah.
We still only have 12 on the field at a time.
Yeah, no, 12 you're,
and 12. You're, as best I know. Like, yeah. Come on.
I think a decision like this, Dick, would maybe help out junior football, and I don't think that's a bad thing. Maybe some of these kids, these young kids, and I mean, I know you're not an expert to speak of this, but you're an athletic director. Maybe some of these young kids aren't ready to play university football, so maybe they can go play a year or two junior football to get some meaningful snaps instead of never mind that, 120 guys, how do you squeeze them into a locker room? I know the Rams already were having, that locker room's only set up for a certain amount of guys. They put lockers in the middle of the nice dressing room they had there back when you were the AD. I mean, there are a whole bunch of different things here that people automatically, don't get me wrong, I'm all for all the kids. I hope you guys can find a way to appease as many as you can. So initially I'm like, wow, those guys, come on, you can't rip those guys off. But then I'm like, gee, there's a lot of things to consider here. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be the first to say it. I don't know that the first decision, thinking back on it, I don't know that the first decision was really that wrong. And that's no disrespect to the Robbie Lowe's or the Colton Claussens or the Josiah Josephs of the world. When I sit back and think about it, it's not as cut and dried as you'd think.
No, and that's a fair comment. It's not as cut and dried as it seemed because people don't think the larger situation. And but you know what? As I said before, you know what? There were no enemies here. We're all on the same team. It was just a matter of what are the consequences if we allow these fifth-year guys to play? Let's call them fifth-year guys.
Mm-hmm.
Or what are the consequences if we don't allow them to play? And there's no matter what decisions you make in life, there are consequences. And I'm a huge believer that the board and my office serves the members. And it was very clear to us for the majority of members, this is what they wanted. But there were those out there that made their point very clear. And one of their points was one of the reasons for this rule, go to university, have a wonderful sport experience, get your degree, and get out and let somebody else in. They made that very loud and clear, and I'm sure we will hear from a few of those again. And you know what? Fair point. We're kind of saying, like, if you're looking 25, you are ballpark, what, 7 years after high school. Now, what people don't really realize is that the average ages, the average age of graduates at university has actually gone up for a variety of reasons. People are working a couple of years before they go to school. They're taking classes part-time so they can maybe have a higher average or keep their job and pay for school. Like the average graduate, as best I know, and the most recent thing I heard was in that 25-year range. So we're not talking people that when the football kids graduate at 25 that they're that out of whack. But, you know, you start to go, what, 7 years after high school? You know what? We need to graduate, get great professionals, get great leaders, get guys out there coaching, helping in minor football. I don't think anybody wanted, part of this rule was we don't want you hanging around forever. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. No,
go make a bunch of money. Donate it to your former team.
Yeah, that's like, right. That's
come
right.
on.
That's right.
Know?
I love it,
buy
Dick.
Buy a helmet.
I love it, Dick. That's awesome. Yeah. And hey, thanks for this. And just to wrap up, I guess, you're looking, you want to have something nailed down in the early part of next year, February. And what does that entail? Who's involved in this decision? Because here's the other thing. Well, the board, they make all the decisions and they don't listen to us. So you obviously circled around and listened to your membership. How much will they be involved in coming up with a game plan to set, I guess, more in stone what's going to be happening going forward besides this one-off?
Honestly, the board, in my view, will have minimal involvement, and not because they're not bright and capable. The board is not going to dig deep into those kind of operational issues. Mm-hmm. This is going to be our eligibility committee, our football technical, the management advisory committee. If it starts to look like it's a fairly big monster, then we'll form a subcommittee to look after it on its own. But no, the board, because it's going to be eligibility, will eventually stamp the approval on it. They may have comment, they may have suggestions, but ultimately this will be an operations. In my view, won't be at the board level till it gets very late in the process.
Okay, Dick, get to Waskasoo and watch those damn birds up north.
I will, and we'll talk again, Michael. Thanks for this.
Take care, buddy. See ya.
All righty.
Bye.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.